Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The FBI says last month's hostage taking at a synagogue in Texas was an act of terrorism targeting the Jewish community. Jews make up only about 2% of the U.S. population, but the FBI says Jews are the targets of nearly 60% of religious hate crimes. Our next guest says the danger is not just to individuals targeted. He says anti-Semitism is also a danger to democracy. Yair Rosenberg is a contributor to The Atlantic. His newsletter is called Deep Shtetl. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
The man who attacked the synagogue in Texas and took the rabbi and members of the congregation hostage, he wanted the rabbi to place a phone call for him to New York's Central Synagogue to speak with the head rabbi there. And you say this is completely significant and core to your argument. What was the man trying to accomplish? What was he thinking?
Yeah, so he had this notion that rabbis in America, who are the leaders of the Jews in America, control America and can get stuff done, including getting people released from the federal prison system. And this gets to something that's very unusual about anti-Semitism that distinguishes it from many other forms of prejudice. Because I think when people think about prejudice and bigotry, they think about social prejudice. I don't like those people. I don't like those people who are different than me and the way they're different than me. And they think about people using slurs against those communities. And anti-Semitism has all of those elements. But it also has this other element, which is this conspiracy theory about how the world works, which posits that Jews are these sinister string pullers behind the scenes, controlling politics, economics, foreign policy, you name it, there's a Jew behind it. And that's what this man walking into a synagogue in Texas thinks he can do. Therefore, he can walk into a synagogue and hold Jews hostage until those Jews give him what he wants. Now, all of us listening know that that's not true. But you need to understand the conspiracy to understand why it happened.
We should make the point here that you say in the article, most people don't realize that Jews make up just 2% of the U.S. population and 0.2% of the world's population. How did it get, though, elevated to the point of a conspiracy theory?
So there has long been throughout this through line through the history of anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is a modern term for describing certain forms of anti-Jewish prejudice. But throughout history, people have sort of constructed a sort of Jew as the oppressor, as someone who is the avatar of evil in their society. If you read Shakespeare's play Merchant of Venice, the villain of the play is a merchant called Shylock who is money-grubbing and has all these anti-Semitic stereotypes built into him. And what's really remarkable is that many Shakespeare scholars think that Shakespeare never met a Jew. I'd say that there's a really simple thing at root, which is people are intolerant of those who are different than them. The majority does not like a minority that does things differently. And this is something we've all experienced. Perhaps some of us have dealt with these sorts of prejudices within ourselves. And Jews are one of the world's oldest minorities. They've just been around a really long time. So in many different situations and other places, they've been this minority that people have despised and served as a scapegoat for the society's problems. Because, of course, it's always easier to blame people who are different than you, right, than to look within yourself and try to figure out your own problems.
But you're saying that this kind of prejudice and conspiracy theorizing is widespread among people who are different from each other,
yes,
who have anti-Semitic views, from the white supremacists bearing tiki torches in Charlottesville to Louis Farrakhan, a black man, a preacher who foments hatred. How is it that these groups that may not have everything in common with each other have this in common?
So what I would say is that they share a conspiratorial mindset. If you're the sort of person who searches for a simple answer to the very difficult and complex problems we face as human beings and as a society, you're probably going to ultimately land on the Jews. Because as we've discussed, this is a conspiracy theory that goes back centuries. So if you are searching for your invisible oppressor, you're inevitably going to land on an invisible Jew. You're basically one Google search away from centuries of material saying that the Jews are the secret people behind the scenes causing all of your problems. And so these people may not share many other ideological things, but they share a conspiratorial mindset seeking simple solutions to complex problems.
The dangers are so apparent. Just look at what happened in Texas, for instance, the most recent example. But then there are more subtle dangers that you wonder about and worry about. What are they?
Think of how society is impacted by conspiracy theories. Democracy depends on us being able to work together to rationally solve our problems, to create political alliances, to look at an issue in our world and to fix it. But when you start believing that there's a hidden hand behind the scenes that stops anyone from doing anything or fixing anything and is actually running the show, then you stop being able to do all of the rational things to fix your society. If you think that the Jews control the media, you're not going to be able to use the media to get out your message and to explain to people what you want them to know. If you think Jews control politics, you will spend your time chasing after invisible Jews instead of organizing people into coalitions, campaigning and voting and doing things to actually address your issues. And so the more people buy into the anti-Semitic conspiracy theory, the more they lose faith in democracy and the ability to solve their own problems and to fix their own countries and societies.
So talk to us then about fixing this problem. If you think that anti-Semitic trends can be reversed, what can individuals, Jews and non-Jews, do to try and reverse the trend?
I think that a lot of anti-Semitic conspiracy theorizing thrives on demonizing Jews and turning them into cartoons and caricatures that don't resemble real Jews. And so a really easy way to shatter those caricatures is to get to know what Jews are really about in our full diversity, talk to real Jewish people, read about Jewish history, read about diversity of Jewish practice, religion, culture. Because we're only 2% of the world, it's actually, you have to seek us out, right? And you have to seek that literature out and you have to seek those people out. But if you do that, you'll be inoculated to the person who comes along saying, well, the Jew, he's behind, you know, this problem or that problem. Because you're saying, well, I actually know something about Jews and that isn't so. And if our communities are able to actually understand who Jews are, they will be much less susceptible to people who come around telling them things about Jews that simply aren't so.
That's Yair Rosenberg, a contributing writer to The Atlantic. Nice to speak with you. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.